Good afternoon, Darren, and welcome to Connect.
Thank you, Nigel. Great to chat with you again, mate, and thank you very much for your support and encouragement with this new song of mine. I really appreciate it.
Oh, yes, we'll get to that very soon. I can't wait. It's a great song and a great credit to you, actually. Firstly, let's talk about your career in general. I read your bio the other day, and there are two things that strike me about your career. One is the longevity, and two is the versatility. Now, you've been going for about 30 years. You've done so many things. You've been, obviously, a singer, a songwriter, and a musician. That's what people probably know most of you. You've also been an actor on stage, television, film, and now you're a television presenter in Sydney, I understand. Is there anything I've left out, or have we got it all?
No, thank you, Nigel. I've had a great, very diverse career, as you sort of highlight there, and had a lot of great opportunities come my way. My attitude has always just been to say yes, and I feel a much richer performer and certainly a better person as a result of all of those incredible experiences, and they've all, you know, nourished me and sort of helped me, as I said, yeah, craft my skills, I guess. At the part of it for me, I've always considered myself first and foremostly a songwriter and, you know, and an artist writing my own and performing my own song. So I guess that's why this new song and, you know, this is like a new chapter for me. I guess it's exciting to have something positive out there in the music world of my own.
You've had about 9 or 10 albums out over that 30-year stretch, haven't you?
Yeah, I've released a number of albums of, you know, of my own material. I've released a few albums that have saluted some of my musical heroes, and I love the recording process. It's just a nice way to preserve a little piece of yourself, I guess, for future generations.
So your grandkids, when you have them, can look back and say, "That's what Granddad did."
That's what he did. That's what exactly. You know, it's kind of it is very much like a journal or you know, something like memoir, I guess, in some way.
What is this song 5 o'clock Wave all about? I just played it before. And for those who didn't perhaps catch it and think, do you go waving down the street at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? I'm not quite sure.
The 5 o'clock wave. It's a legendary wave, Nigel. I grew up in the great city of Wagga Wagga. Growing up as a kid in Wagga Wagga, and you know, if you meet anyone from Wagga, they'll attest to this story. You grow up learning about the 5 o'clock wave in the afternoon at Blowering Dam. They release water out of the dam each afternoon, and at 5 o'clock, it forms this one single wave that makes its way down the Murrumbidgee River. And if you're lucky enough to be there at Wagga Beach, it rolls on past, and surfers from all over the world come to surf all the way down to Narrandra, which is, you know, an hour or so away. So it's a bit of fun.
So how high is this wave?
Varies in size, but it's, you know, it's a surfable wave, yeah, that makes its way down the Murrumbidgee River all the way, you know, past Wagga Beach. Wagga Beach, a lot of people sort of, you know, when I mention Wagga Beach, they go, "Wagga doesn't have a beach." Well, it actually does, and it's a beautiful little stretch of sand there that is on the banks of the Murrumbidgee River. And just recently it was brought to my attention, I think it was the last couple of years, it's been voted in one of the top 10 beaches.
I wouldn't want to take your little toddlers down there and just at 5 to 5, would you? The last you'd see of them.
That's exactly right. And it's cold. The Murrumbidgee River is a freezing cold river. But anyway, lots of fun as kids we had growing up with the legend of the 5 o'clock wave. It's a song that's going to be one of the tunes that's on my new album.
Were you from a musical family, or how did this happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, music, my family were always huge musical fans. So my, not musicians as such, but, you know, mum and dad would take my sister and I to everything that would come to town in Wagga. Whatever was on at the Civic Theatre, they would take us to. And that ranged from, you know, it could have been Slim Dusty right through to, you know, James Morrison, jazz shows, musical theatre, Midnight Oil, the whole spectrum of music acts that toured Australia while we were growing up. If they came to Wagga, my mum and dad would take us along as kids, and I'm so grateful for that. It was such a great education in diversity of genres. I, you know, grew up appreciating all, and I still do. I'm a fan of all genres of music. I think there's always something beautiful and to be taken from, you know, all genres of music, and I thoroughly enjoy it, whether it's classical music or jazz or rock, or whatever it might be, country music. There's always something to enrich our lives and nourish our souls through the arts. Musical in the sense that they were music fans. And, and then I started learning guitar when I was about 6 years of age. It was the music initially of John Denver that I really gravitated towards. It really, for whatever some reason, spoke to me even as a young boy like that. It felt comforting, and it still does to this day. I'm a huge fan of the music of John Denver, and James Taylor was another one.
you've got this other arm to yourself, which people would know as well. You actually have these shows these days. You actually have a James Taylor show and a Glenn Campbell show and a Cat Stevens show and as you said, a John Denver show. All sort of have these themes. So did that sort of start subconsciously in your backyard as a kid?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, these shows have been – I've loved doing these shows. I've been doing them for around 10 years, touring Australia with and internationally. We did a UK tour with our Cat Stevens show in 2017. Mm-hmm. So, like, these shows, they've been very kind to me. And they're – I mean, they're not impersonations. I don't sort of come out and try to pretend to be, you know, all of these artists or anything like that. They're literally – I come out as myself, as Darren, and it's just a way of – it's like
a common ground.
I'm kind of honouring these musicians, these artists who have been, you know, they're all my heroes. They're all of the artists that I grew up listening to. And as I said, you know, to have those sort of palette of songs to perform with on a stage. And the songs mean so much to the audiences too. They come along to hear them. They obviously want to hear those songs. And I take a lot of responsibility in you know, recreating the songs as accurately as possible to the original artist, because I said the songs, they mean so much to people, and they have been sort of like bookmarks in our lives.
Yes.
You know, you can literally hear the song and be taken straight back, transported to a time in your life.
Yes.
You know, whether that's about the memories about love or heartache or whatever it might be, the song, it's as if it was written especially for you.
I understand. Well, you mentioned before that you've taken the show overseas, so you took it to the UK, I understand. So how did that come about?
Yeah, that was my Cat Stevens show. Yeah, wow, this was a very surreal experience. We were performing the show in Melbourne, actually at the Athenaeum Theatre. We were down there for 6 weeks. This was in 2007. And at one of the shows, Cat Stevens' nephew, would you believe, came along, bought a ticket and came along to the show. He lives in Melbourne. His name's Stephen Giorgio, and currently lives in Melbourne. And yeah, he was just curious, I think, about the show. Anyway, he came along and he loved it. He loved our interpretation of his uncle's work. To cut a very long story short, he basically lined up this opportunity for me to go to London and meet with Cat Stevens himself.
Wow, okay.
Which was just incredible. So I had a day with Yusuf over there, and it was just, you know, I was just like a kid in a candy store. He was telling me, you literally heard firsthand some incredible stories about his career as Cat Stevens and his life, and it was a real privilege. So I came back from that experience incredibly inspired and sort of then invested a lot into that show, and it's been kind to me ever since. And as I said, we did get the chance to take that show in through the UK in 2017, and played some beautiful venues like the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, mm-hmm. and the Liverpool Philharmonic, all of these kind of iconic venues that, you know, I was backstage at one of them there, and I was sitting in the dressing room, and on the dressing room there's a picture of the Beatles sitting in the same seat that I was sitting in there. I was just sitting thinking, wow, this is crazy. So, you know, they're kind of the pinch me moments of your career where you think, wow, is this really... have I really come this far? So yeah, lots and lots of fun.
It's so unusual. Well, it's unbelievable in a way that the connection came by someone in an audience, just happened to be Cat Stevens' nephew, and there you are. He put it all together for you.
Yeah, yeah. He was a lovely man. He is a lovely man, he's. Yeah, so, you know, that was an incredible time of my life. And so that show, we still do a few shows throughout the year. Actually, we're coming down to Melbourne with that show later this year. Yeah, we'll be at the Clock Tower Centre there at Mooney Ponds.
Yes, Friday the 18th of September, I think, from
Melbourne. There it is.
There it is.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the one, yeah. So that should be that's a good fun night.
Well, you were in Melbourne recently, 3 or 4 weeks ago at Frankston, weren't you?
Yes, we were doing a show there at the Karolika Theatre there in Frankston. I was in Frankston as well. You're right. Yeah, at the Frankston Arts Centre.
And you were at Karolika as well, were you, in Ringwood?
We were at Karolika at Ringwood. We were at Geelong Performing Arts Centre. So, yeah, Melbourne is, and the whole state of Victoria is so just wonderful to tour because, you know, audiences really love the arts, I find, in Victoria. It's a very arts-focused state. So yeah, it's always a joy. The theatres are beautiful. The audiences always support live music, and there's definitely a music. There's a real vibe throughout Victoria, particularly regional Victoria. I find is really fantastic. So,
well, you're going to regional Victoria a bit later on, too. You're going to Gippsland. You're going to be in. Although your next concert here is Saturday, the 13th of June, in Sale at a place called The Wedge.
The Wedge, yeah, that's a great theatre down there in Sale as well. Yeah, that's our shows there. We're in Warragul, Sale, Bansdale,
Traralgon,
Forge Theatre, yeah, Traralgon. So yeah, there's always a lot of beautiful theatres, and as I said, the audiences are always very appreciative, I think, when we come to town, folks,
for details of those, go to his website, and we'll give you that later. Well, I'll give it to you right now. Darren Coggan, very simple. and .com, that's as simple as that. Go to his website and you'll get details of his all those concerts in Victoria, and you can even buy tickets online, I understand, as well. So there it is, and you can also have a look at his albums there. He's all those things are on the website, aren't they, just waiting to be picked off.
That's right. Yeah.
The question I was going to ask you without notice, when you, all these concerts you talk about, are you ever at home?
Yes, I am. I'm
or do you live in a caravan?
No, I am. I am home quite a lot. It is a lot of work. It's mostly, you know, we're mostly sort of away over the weekend period. Friday, Saturday nights, obviously, are the desired time to try and secure a theatre. So, when I am home, I'm very much at home.
So where is home?
I'm originally from Wagga Wagga, as we've already discussed, yes. But I live these days in Wollongong.
Oh, Wollongong, okay.
New South Wales, yeah. So that's I've only been here a couple of years, but it's a lovely part of the world, the Illawarra here. It's lovely, so we're enjoying our time here.
Tell me, we talked about your musical career, which is vast. How did these acting facets come about? Did you have a very active manager, or because you've done a lot of stage shows and even been in a film?
Yeah, no, I have. I don't have a manager at all, actually. It's just all myself. I do everything myself, but I have had agents over the years, acting agents, but they sort of come, you know. The first one I did was a musical called Happy Days. Mm-hmm. It was a huge arena spectacular, and I played the role of Richie Cunningham in that show. I think it's
the starring role, hey?
Yeah, the only time my red hair and freckles have actually done any good in the industry, but there I was, and it was a huge... it was huge. You know, there's a big all-star cast. There was Rebecca Gibney was in it. You know, John Stevens from Noiseworks, the guys from Human Nature, the late Wendy Hughes. It was a real fantastic event. And we toured Australia, all the arenas in that show. So, and I got cast in that kind of by a friend of mine was going for an audition. He's an actor, but he doesn't really sing. And then there was obviously a musical, and his agent sent him. Anyway, in talking to his agent, he said, "Oh, I've got a friend who looks like Richie Cunningham. He should go along and audition. He's a great singer." So that's kind of how that one came about. I just walked in kind of cold, and next thing, there I was. They rang me. I'll never forget. They rang me on my birthday, my 24th birthday, and said, "You've got the role." So, that's how that one happened. And then from there, you know, you start to make contacts, and you just sort of keep turning around in those circles for a while, and I've loved that arena. It's been wonderful.
Well, are you still speaking to that guy after pinching his part?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We actually went on to do a children's television project called the Jelly Bean Team together, and Nick Hardcastle is his name, and we had a great time together with that show as well. So yeah, we're very good friends. He now lives overseas. He lives in America, but
obviously he doesn't want to compete with you anymore. That's why he's gone there.
Yeah. He's fine. He's doing great. It's no problem at all there.
So this is unbelievable. Did you go to acting school or anything like that as well?
I have had acting. I mean, I haven't studied, at a NIDA or a WAPA or anything like that, but I have done numerous sort of, short acting classes and things like that, just to sort of hone the skills. But to be honest with you, I've learned most of my skills on the job, you know, like that Happy Days one. It's like, seriously, mm-hmm. just jumping in the deep end, I find, is the best way to, sink or swim sort of attitude. And, when you're surrounded by the best in the business, you can't help but you learn from them. And that was certainly the case with me with that Happy Days musical. All of a sudden, you've got the best directors in the country, the best – crew, the best musicians, and the actors and the performers are at the top of their craft. So I felt very, very blessed to, as I said, to be rubbing shoulders with them. And indeed, I was like a sponge. I was just soaking up all of their advice and their tips. And so that's where I've done most of my learning, to be honest with you.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But there are some great schools around the country that, you know, if I had my time again starting out, if I had it, you know, known that that was in the future, I probably would have gone to a Whopper or NIDA or something like that and done that. But anyway, that's how it's worked out for me. But yeah, it's I've been very lucky.
You also understudied John Farnham, did you not?
I did, yeah. Well, I'm the biggest John Farnham fan in the world. I just adore him. I have done since I was a small boy. The very first album I ever bought, actually with my own money, was Whispering Jack when I was...
Thought you were going to say Sadie of Cleaning Lady for a start.
No. I do have that one as well. But yeah, Whispering Jack was when I was about 14 years of age when that came out, and it changed. Well, it changed Australian music. You know, the Australian music scene, that's for sure. And then a huge influence on me, just his personality. I mean, he's got the voice, you know, the greatest voice in the world, I think, in my opinion. Whoa. So to work with him was, wow, it was just a dream come true. So, yeah, I was his understudy in the group. We did a Grease musical, again, a big arena one. Magnus Stavansky was in it. And,
yes, I remember this.
Yeah, John Farnham. And it was just Rob Mills. It was a huge all-star cast again, and so I was there to understudy a few roles. So Richard Wilkins was one of the ones I understudied, and John Farnham played Teen Angel, and I had played the role in a previous version of the musical Grease, and it was the same director and the production company that was casting. So I was lucky enough to already know those guys, so I got the role. But I tell you what, the thing I was most nervous about was if I ever did have to go on for John. You know,
did he have a night off?
No, he didn't. No, he's got vocal cords of steel. You know, there was no way he was ever going to go off, which I was relieved about, because I used to have this dream that, you know, like the announcement they make it before, like if someone is off, they'll say, "Oh, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, the role of Teen Angel won't be played by John Farnham, will be played by Darren Coggan." And I could just hear the crowd's disappointment, you know. So yeah, but fortunately that never happened, because John is just the greatest, and it would take a lot to for him not to turn up, I think.
Let's move to your current single, because that is absolutely fantastic. Always Believe in Love. Do you always believe in love?
I do, absolutely. I think in the world that we live in today, Nigel, being reminded to love one another is not such a bad thing. You know, I guess that's kind of the underlying theme of this song. It's that mantra to always believe in love. And I think, I know it sounds perhaps a little naive, but, you know, I think, you know, the one thing that can change the world from a lonely place into a beautiful place is kindness and love. I really think it's that simple. Good place to start anyway. And that was kind of, I guess, the sentiment behind this song. And it just feels really great to have something positive out there at the moment in the world. And I'm really, really overwhelmed with the response that I've had to this song.
I'm not surprised. The first time I heard it, I thought, "Gee, this is good." So I put it on the playlist straight away. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean,
thank you.
So you wrote it yourself?
Yes.
So how did it come to? How did you come up with that? Is it just a philosophy of yours, or?
No. Well, this particular song, this has never happened to me before. So it was a very surreal experience, this song, and it's been like I keep calling it like a gift, because what happened, and this is going to sound all kind of unicorns and rainbows kind of thing, but this is the truth. I had this very vivid dream, and the dream was that I was playing a show, and I turned around and picked up my guitar, and I just started playing the melody of this song. Mm-hmm. And it was so familiar to me in the dream. It was like I had known it for my whole life. Started playing the song, and then the audience started singing back to me the chorus of this song. They always believe in love, and they just repeated it over and over again. And I remember waking up from the dream thinking, wow, what was that? It was so, so clear in my mind. Even telling you now, I can still see it. So I went to my little music room and I picked up my guitar and I just sang what I had heard into my phone, and that one line, that always believe in love, sang it over and over again. And then I sort of went back to sleep. And the next morning I was so excited about listening to what I had recorded and hoped that it wasn't just some kind of gibberish that I dreamt up in my sleep, in my semi-conscious state. But there it was. It was this melody, this fully formed melody and the lyric, and I remember taking it around to my wife and my kids saying, hey, is this, you guys know this song? Is this familiar? Is this something that's already exists? Or anyway, they hadn't. They said, no, I've never heard of it before. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. So, I then spent the next few weeks really obsessed with it and kind of fleshed out the rest of the lyrics and I guess the other parts of the song. But, as I said, it was really, really a gift. My wife said, gee, she said, if you could dream up the lotto numbers, that would be even better.
Forget the singing. She's not interested in that. She just wants the money.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so that's how it came about. And as I said, now to hear it being played on radio stations around Australia on your program, Nigel, it's a real, it's incredibly satisfying feeling. I'm really thrilled about it.
Well, of course, it's gone to number 10, first week in the charts here, Community Radio Airplay charts, number 10.
Yeah, bingo. I mean, that's just fantastic, isn't it? So I'm, as I said, I'm really overwhelmed. I've been talking about the song a lot to lots of different radio stations, and everyone's just been so encouraging of it. So it's a really nice feeling. I think it's resonating in a really positive way with listeners. And again, I thank you for your support and for giving it a spin, mate. It's wonderful.
Well, that's my pleasure, because it's a great record. And as you said before, it's love is what we need and happiness is what we need. And the song oozes both.
Oh, thank you very much. And, that was the intent.
And that's really what you've succeeded in what you're doing. And it's a great song. So, Darren, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been absolutely great talking to you. Been a while since we've had a chat, but lots of nice stories there, the 5 o'clock wave. Understudying John Farnham, I mean, yes. And now, of course, most important of all, of course, always believe in love. Number 10 on the charts, folks, so you need to get on to that. And you can find that on his website too, believe it or not. So the website there is darrencoggan.com. Very simple. Two R's in Darren and two G's as well. So what more could you want, really?
That's right.
A couple of D's and a couple of N's might be thrown in there, and there you got it. DarrenCoggan.com is the website, folks. Go there and have a look at it. You can have a look at his albums there. You can even play some of them if you want to. And you've got some great songs. And of course, it's nice to see you out with this one now, because as I said to you before, I think this is the most commercial thing you have done. There it is. Darren, thank you very much for your time today. All the very best with the new single and, of course, with your concerts coming up in Victoria very soon. So thanks for your time today. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, thank you, Nigel. Thank you so much, mate.
Bye. Right, we've done that.
Oh, that's great, mate. Hey, sorry about all those interruptions there with the phone dropping out, so I'm not sure what was going on there. That was weird.